No one emphasized that to me. No one told me, hey, when you're an organization, keep in contact with your colleagues because one day you might want to get a job in the place that they've just joined. So more and more, I think, as we move into this new world of work, where there's going to be jobs that don't even hit the job market, it's all going to be about who you know, not what you know. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Career Confidence Podcast today. It honestly means the world to me. Now, before we dive into today's episode, I wanted to let you know about something I have been working on behind the scenes. So as you know from listening, I am writing a book called The Bold Move. And alongside the book, I am also developing something that is really going to help people in this current world of work. Now, what I'm hearing from so many people is there is a lot of uncertainty, there's fear, there's lack of confidence, lack of clarity. People are generally concerned about their careers and what the world is going to look like over the next 5 or 10 years. And no wonder, because stats like 44% of workers are going to have to change careers by 2028, according to the World Economic Forum. 300 million jobs could be impacted by AI globally. And then the fact that, according to LinkedIn, 60% of professionals don't know what their next step should be. It's no surprise that there is a lot of confusion in the market right now. And I really want to do everything in my power to help. So alongside an amazing team, I've created a AI-powered career mentor called Pivotr, spelled P-I-V-O-T-R, pivotr.com. And what this tool is going to give you is everything you need to succeed in this new world of work. Whether you're looking to pivot into a completely different industry, learn AI and make sure you're staying ahead in your career, pivot up in your current industry, go for that promotion, or even a pivot project, you want to launch your own thing, Pivotr is going to be your career mentor in this new uncertain world of work. It's going to give you that clarity. It will give you that personalized roadmap and break it down into weekly sprints so you know exactly what to do to get you to where you want to be. It's also going to have voice enablement so you can chat to Pivotr anytime you need that little bit of comfort, clarity, certainty. The AI tool and Pivotr is going to be there to support you and guide you every single step of the way. Now, we are only looking for a handful of people to test the product as it's in very, very early stages. So if you'd like to be involved, please go to pivotr.com. We'll make sure that we put it in the show notes and reach out to me if you'd like to know more about the tool I'm creating. But I really, really am looking forward to launching this. And as the listeners of the Career Confidence Podcast, you'll be the first to know when the tool is ready for you. So go to pivotr.com, check it out, pop your name on that early access list. You do not want to miss out on the opportunity to be one of the first to use this. Your feedback is going to be very, very valued and will shape the future of this product. So thank you so much again for tuning in today. And now over to today's episode. Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Career Confidence Podcast today with myself, Georgie Hubbard. And joining me on the mic today is the one, the only, Pamela Cordwell. Great to have you back with me today.
Good morning. Good morning. It's always a joy. Always a joy.
Now, we're all caffeined up today and we're actually really excited to do this one today because we were reflecting on our own careers the other day, and we were both sort of sat there thinking to ourselves, God, I wish I knew this 10 years ago, right? And this advice that we're going to talk about today is still relevant to us now. It's still relevant to you wherever you are in your career right now, whether you're right at the start of your career, in the middle of it, or even coming up to retirement. Like, I do really generally think these lessons, these things that we wish we knew in our 20s, are still relevant today. So that's going to be today's episode. What are the top pieces of advice that we wish that we knew when we were starting out in our 20s? And to be honest, they're still very, relevant today. So we were having a good laugh when we first thought about doing this podcast today. So this is going to be a bit more lighthearted. This is going to be a bit more of like our own personal stories. So strap in and and get ready for a bit of an honesty chat here. But I think the first one that me and you were having a bit of a laugh about, because it's just something that I was quite serious in my mid-20s when I was starting my career in recruitment. And I had this thought that I had to have everything sort of figured out. I had to know everything, and I was a bit of a perfectionist at the time. And I was taking myself and my career really, really seriously. And I was thinking about, this is how I want to go. These are the steps I want to take. This is what I'm aiming for. And I think that's great. It's really good to be ambitious, really good to have goals in your career and a vision. But I think in this world, careers are no longer linear. They're going to be zigzagged. They're going to be sideways move. They're going to be career pivots, transitions. And I think if you're coming into your career now thinking you're going to have everything figured out, and over the next 10 years, you're going to be in a CTO or CFO or C-suite role, that might not be the reality. So I think we have to now be more nimble in our careers, as opposed to trying to figure it all out and just execute on the plan, because those plans, the world's moving so quickly right now, could be obsolete in a year's time. So that was my first lesson. I thought, I used to think, I've got to have it all figured out. I've got to know exactly what I'm doing, what my next move is going to be. And I don't think you can do that anymore.
No, and you know what? I actually think our career choices were really quite interesting, because everyone says, you know, you don't wake up one day and think, oh, I'm going to go to university, and then when I come out, I want to be a recruiter. Right. But what is interesting, I think, like, this is maybe something that is still really relevant right now, is when I first started in recruitment, you were genuinely only as good as your last month. And if you didn't perform, you were out the door. There was no job security, right? And I think, like, that's probably even more relevant today than what it was back then. There really isn't, like, you know, there's definitely a lot more redundancies and everything that have happened over the past few years. Like, you know, you do have to be good. But I think it's one thing that's really powerful to that is that I think that, you know, what to work on when you're in your 20s is just, like, really double down on your work ethic. I think that's one thing that I really developed in my 20s. And I think if you are serious about carving out a career, whatever career choice that may be, I think that your 20s is your time to just, like, just go for it.
Yeah.
Go for it. Mm-hmm. You've got no pressures. Mm-hmm. You know, you are renting an apartment, mm-hmm, or you're doing whatever. See, if it all falls to shit, sorry, mm-hmm, Amelia, to swear on this podcast, never absolutely done that before. If it all falls to shit, you can still move back home with your parents. You know, you've got no responsibilities. So I think that, in, like, if I look back, one of the key things that I would maybe have done is try a few different things. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not saying that I would actually change it, because in actual fact, I quite like the fact that I've stuck with the one thing, but that's also my personality. And I've enjoyed the different iterations that I've experienced in my career, and I've definitely grown and evolved, and it's helped my personality, mm-hmm, change and evolve along the way. But I do think that when you're going through your career, you think that you're going to have a career that's maybe going to span 40. God knows when the retirement age is going to be, 50 years, right?
Yeah.
It's a lot of decades. Mm-hmm. So trial and error a couple of different things. Mm-hmm. I honestly think that that's so important. Mm-hmm. And if you even think about, you know, what we've done now, I've not just always been a recruiter. Like, mm-hmm, I have jumped across and started my own business.
Yeah.
That encourages, like, a whole new skill set. So although I've picked my lane, if you want to put it that way, I've dipped my toe into trying different things, mm-hmm, along the way, which has kept the excitement there, mm-hmm, which has kept the growth and the learnings all, mm-hmm, there as well. But definitely, I just think that, you know, when you're at a certain stage of your career, I think it is important to really double down and, mm-hmm, go for it.
Yeah. And I think the narrative on young people is there's so much pressure. It's like, find your purpose, find your one thing, right? I had no frigging idea what I was doing in my 20s, right? Early 20s, I was working in beauty, for example, in skin. And I used that to travel. So I went to work in Greece, in France. I then went back to the UK for a bit, and then I moved to Australia. And then I thought, oh, I don't, you know, this career has got me as far as what it's going to. Love dealing with people, loved, you know, sort of taking someone on a transformational journey, and loved all of that. But then I was like, do you know what? I want to try something new now. Like, I've kind of got the people skills. So I think, like, when you're in a service-based industry, when you're dealing with people, you learn a lot about the psychology of people and what makes them feel special. And that was a really important part of my career development and my skill development. And then obviously the travel piece thrown in with that as well made me even more confident and sure of myself. So I think younger self, travel is super important as well. Go and experience different cultures, go and experience working in different places all over the world. Like, I've worked in Europe, I've worked in Australia. Like, it's really super important, I think, if for a young person these days, to get exposure to that. And I do honestly contribute to a lot of my confidence and, I guess, self-belief to that, because I've worked, you know, all across, not all across the globe, but I've certainly worked in a number of different places with different people and cultures. The second thing then is, obviously, when I transitioned into recruitment, I had a lot of transferable skills from the days when I was consulting and beauty and selling in that. And then that sort of really took that nicely into recruitment. And then I've had a recruitment career now for the last 12 years. But in those 12 years, I've also got a personal training qualification, and I've done, you know, help people transition, get fitter and healthier. I've also studied meditation. So it's like, and social media and personal branding. And I think the key piece is that you're not just going to have, in today's world, you're not just going to start a career and then work your way up in a business or work your way up in one career. You need to be nimble. You need to be, I'm almost going to say, a little bit more of like a generalist. You need to have different strings to your bow. You need to have different, I guess, area of expertise, and be curious as well. So I think that there's no right or wrong. There's no right or wrong here. Like, I think I love what you've done. You've just got into recruitment at 18 and you've made that your one thing, and you've become very successful. I've not made recruitment my one thing, and I've equally been as successful. So I think that the point being is that there is no right or wrong, but I think we need to be a little bit more flexible, a little bit more nimble, and not just have this hard, fast plan of, this is what I'm going to do when I leave university and this is where I'm going to go. Because if you have that, I think you're setting yourself up for failure in this world, because your expectations, I don't think, are going to be met, because the world is changing so rapidly. And this goes for anybody right now that's thinking about a career transition or a pivot. It's like, we need to move away from the fact that we believe that we should just be constantly going up the ladder, and we might need to make a sideways move to then excel quicker down the track. So I think we can't have everything figured out right now. We need to remain nimble and agile in this new world of work. But that was just a funny thing when I was thinking about it. I was like, you know, every time I thought about doing something, I had a plan in place, and that plan never eventuated. It's like, yeah, you know, never did I think when I started day one of recruitment, I was ever going to have my own recruitment business. Never would I have ever thought that, but yet here I am. Never would I thought I was going to start a podcast or start throwing events, but here we are, you know? So I think you need to be, when you're young, adding as many skills as you possibly can into your bucket, and not just chasing the next promotion or the next pay slip. You need to be upskilling multiple different things. And then those skills you can then apply to lots of different things and lots of different jobs and opportunities that come your way. So building up your knowledge and skill bucket is super important. And that applies whether you're 20, 30, 40, 50, 60.
I completely agree. And, you know, one thing that I will say, the first organization that I ever joined, they went from being a small business, they floated in the stock exchange, became a global organization. They offered the best training and development programs. Mm-hmm. There were workshops, there were in-person sessions that you could attend and had to attend, mm-hmm. right? And I did take my career really seriously. Mm-hmm. Any training course that was available, I went on it. I really, really enjoyed it. And it was also a bit of a jolly as well, because I used to get to go down to London and have a little bit of a party time as well. So don't forget to have fun. But I went on every training course that I could possibly go on. Mm-hmm. And it was partly because I wanted to learn and develop, but also it was, I found it at that stage really, really fun to do as well. But what I actually see now is there's a lot of organizations that we deliver into, we partner with at the moment, and they have a learning and development function, and they struggle to get people to want to do the courses. I'm talking $3,000 to spend on training courses of your choice. Wow.
I know.
You're not using that. You're crazy.
I know.
Like, and don't think about it in terms of like what it can do for you right now. Like, almost sometimes, like, go into something without any expectations other than, I want to really enjoy this. And the amount, it could blow your mind open and just like take you on a completely different career path or journey, or develop a skill that you just never thought possible. If you've got a learning and development part to your organization, use it. If you have a training and development budget, use it, because it might not be something that comes into play now or fits into a little bit of a puzzle now, but it's just like stacking on all these different experiences. And I honestly think that learning and development is something to be really enjoyed. But honestly, to the part of the fun element, and that is why I went on any training course that was available, because I always made sure that I had fun when I was going to these things. And it was just something different that I got to do to break away from the norm. And sometimes our jobs can get really mundane and really repetitive, or you can feel, start to feel a little bit stuck. Maybe if you're not, you know, executing on a project, things are lagging behind. Sometimes the worst thing to do is to actually just double down and keep on pushing forward. Sometimes to take a little bit of a break, go away, do something that is a bit of learning and growth and development out with your day to day. You can feel so re-energized and come back at these things with a different lens and a different perspective and just be ready to go again. But the training and development budget, I see it all the time. And I think, if you gave me $3,000 to go away and do something right now, I'd be using that.
Oh, absolutely. But I think it's, I think people are going to start using it more and more, I hope, especially as we move into this new world, because they're going to have to, otherwise they're going to fall behind. So yeah, absolutely. Don't think you have to have it all figured out. And keep learning, keep growing, be curious. Wherever you are in your career right now, that is a lesson that we can all definitely learn from. The second piece that I wish I knew in my 20s, and probably something that I quite naturally did maybe without even realizing, is that not wait for permission, not wait for perfect, and that confidence actually comes from taking action, right? I think like this is something that when I look back throughout my career, and life in general, I never felt ready for anything. I never felt ready to leave home at 19 and move to Greece. I never felt ready at 23 to pack a rucksack and come traveling to Australia. I never felt ready to start my own business. I never felt ready to get into recruitment. I never felt ready for any of this, but I acted despite of those feelings of fear and doubt. And I think if I could train a young person with anything, it would be this. It would be back yourself, take risk, take action. You don't have to have everything figured out like we just said, but you need to act, because that's how you build the confidence. You build the confidence from first having the courage, then you build the competence, and then you build the confidence, and then you actually then stack to be like, well, hang on a minute. If I can leave home at 19 and move to Greece, of course I can pack a rucksack, travel Asia for 6 weeks on my own and move to Australia. Like, you know, hang on a minute. If I can do this, of course I can do this. And you start to like, I guess, have the, again, I'm going to call it again, evidence that when you say you're going to do something, you do it and you can make stuff happen. And I think that there's too many people in life that are waiting. Oh, I'll wait for the market to change. I'll wait until I've got more skills, or I'll wait until I've got a bit more experience, or I'll wait until I've got a bit more money. Stop waiting. Those that wait get left behind, especially in this new world. You need to act. And I think this is going to be something that is going to be more and more important as we move into this new world. We cannot wait any longer. We need to act, we need to do. And that's where I think most of the people that get ahead in this next decade are going to play. They're going to act despite of their fears and despite of how they feel. I think that is a really, really big lesson for us all, and one that I wish that I was really, really drummed into me in my 20s.
That is really powerful. But, you know, just as you were talking there, I was actually thinking to probably like my own personal experience in my 20s. And one thing that I really wish that I would have known is to be more vocal about what I wanted my career to look like. So anyone that knows me know, you cannot say that I'm shy or quiet or anything like that, right? I have got like a big bouncy personality, but I have struggled throughout my career to vocalize exactly what I want. And I, in my 20s and even my early 30s, I genuinely thought that if I just went away and silently worked hard and was a bit of a silent performer, that I would eventually get to the point that I wanted to be. And if I think in my 20s, there were times now that I recognize that I was overlooked to run an office, for example, because the person that ended up running the office was vocal that that's what they wanted. I wanted it, but I didn't vocalize that I wanted it. Therefore, the job got given to the person that had been vocal about it. And it was really interesting because at the time, I was probably more the natural choice for the role, but it wasn't visible. I wasn't visible. I hadn't spoken out loud at all. But I suppose throughout my career is what I'm seeing as well, is that I've actually had to learn how to use my voice. I've always had one, but I maybe struggled to say out loud and really vocalize what it is that I wanted. And I think potentially that maybe comes down to leadership as well, and having a really strong leadership team and someone that understands that as a leader, your role is to coach and pull out of your people what it is, what their aspirations are and what their goals are. And I sometimes think back, if I would maybe have had better leaders that encouraged me to really vocalize exactly what I wanted for my career, maybe I would have learned this skill a little bit earlier. But I think definitely taking the time to actually think about what you want from your career is really powerful, and think about what you want to achieve in the organization that you're currently in is really powerful. But you need to go that step further and you need to speak out. And don't worry about it coming across in an arrogant way. If you're maybe like, at the moment, you're maybe about five or six steps away from getting to that point, don't make it seem as though, oh, I've got this all figured out. It's not going to come across that way. It's like the way that you can even frame it out. Like, hey, Mrs. Manager, this is where I would like to be. I know I'm here at the moment. How do you think that you could help me get to that point? So you can even frame it out in a really nice way. And hopefully if you've got the right management structure in place, they'll be able to help you get there. But if I look back, I do wish I would have been a bit more vocal in terms of like my own wants and my own passions for my career, because I definitely missed out on things that I was probably the natural, should have been the more natural choice for, because no one knew what I wanted.
Yeah, I think that's super powerful, and actually leads to the next point, which is learn to be your own cheerleader and advocate for yourself early on. And it kind of like almost contradicts the point number one, like you don't have to have it all figured out, right? Like you don't have to have everything figured out. You don't need to have the 10-year plan like I used to think you used to have. But you do need to have some level of clarity on what you want and what you're aiming for, like what your career North Star is, right? So for you at the time, it was, I want to step into a leadership role in the business. I want to start managing the team. And absolutely, we obviously used to work together. You were the right person to step into that role. But again, you were somebody that's always been confident and such a bright light, especially in the office. But I think that you have also, and I don't know why you've done this, but just an observation when I was reflecting back on when you were just speaking then about that time we used to work together, you also were quite happy to let other people shine brighter than you. And I think that that's maybe a lesson as well. And it's like, you know, I think that sometimes we're taught as young girls to be humble, be smiley, celebrate everyone else's wins, but we're actually not in an arrogant way, but we need to learn to, I guess, make sure that we're not afraid to shine our light. And you absolutely were the right person for that role when in an organization. But I think that you were also quite happy, and maybe you weren't quite happy, but there's a whole other podcast in itself, but you know, to let someone else shine brighter, but they weren't the right person for the role. And it's just interesting because I think like sometimes we don't put ourselves forward for the roles that we are right for, because maybe we don't want to like offend somebody, or we don't want to outshine somebody, or we don't want to be like thinking, or don't want to be like center of attention, or look at me. But we need to stop doing this as women, because otherwise we are going to get overlooked for promotions. We're not going to step up into leadership roles, and other people are going to step up above us when actually we're the right persons for the role. So I think your story is really, really powerful. And if you could go back to younger Pam there, what would you tell her now in that situation? Like, how would you handle that now with your older, wiser head on your shoulders when Pam's in her early 30s, she wants to step onto this leadership role? If you were mentoring her now, what would you tell her to do?
I would probably tell her to take herself a bit more seriously and realize that you've got a lot more to offer than you think that you do.
Massive, yeah.
And to push yourself outside your comfort zone. Mm-hmm. Start before you're ready. Mm-hmm. Okay, so these are the things that I would actually say to my younger self. Mm-hmm. I genuinely would. But look, I will never change the fact that I'm always so happy to see other people succeed. It's just inherently in me. Like, I do love seeing other people shine and being happy. Mm-hmm. That's just who I am. Would I want to put myself out there a bit more and be a bit more serious when it came to articulating what I wanted to achieve? Like, absolutely. But I think it's, you can self-promote. Mm-hmm. As well as absolutely. Being other mm-hmm. people's cheerleaders. Mm-hmm. It does not have to be a competition, and I've never viewed it like that. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that it's healthy to view it like that, in my own opinion. Mm-hmm. I think that if you're in a position where there's yourself and one other person that brings a really similar skill set to the table, and you both present forward, and regardless of who gets that job, I think that you still are able to come out and be happy for that other individual. If they secured it, then what a beautiful place to be in. But the problem with me was I, for whatever reason, didn't take myself seriously enough to speak out about what it is I wanted to achieve. And sometimes I think that when you're in a career and you're in a role, you sometimes don't recognize how much value you have to bring, because it's something that you do day to day and you do it so well. And, you know, even simple things like a couple of weeks back, we recorded preparing yourself for interview, how to set yourself up for interview techniques. And that podcast, things were just rolling off the tongue. And this is, interviewing is a skill, and we have so much knowledge about how to set yourself up for success. But again, because it's something that we do day to day and we talk day to day and we coach and we prepare people on, we don't necessarily hold that as high a value as what it actually is. Mm-hmm. Am I articulating myself well enough here?
And I think that, you know, as one of your best friends and business partners, I've always said to you ever since we met, like, you're phenomenal. I always say to you, you've got so much to give, Pam. You've got so much to give, Pam. You've got so much to give. Like, I feel like I'm always trying to, like, give you that little nudge and that encouragement, because I see your potential sometimes. And I think that sometimes, you know, maybe the best leaders in the world, or they notice things in us that we maybe don't see in ourselves. And I think that, again, sometimes, unfortunately, if you don't have a seat in yourself at the time, this is where good leadership and good organizations come into play, right? Sometimes, yes, we do need people to identify things in ourselves. Say, hey, look, Pam, you are a natural born leader. You know, every time you walk into the office, the energy lifts. You know, you're so good at what you do. You've got so much value to bring to the team in the office. I think that there's a promotion coming up, and I think you should absolutely go for it. But we weren't in the environment where that just wasn't what was going to happen. And talk about competition, it was sales, it was recruitment. Everybody was competing with one another. That was just the environment that was encouraged. So I think your situation was very unique. But if you're in a situation where you're in an office and you know there's someone else that is really, really also really good at what they do, it's not seeing them as competition. It's seeing them as like, okay, what about them do I admire? What about them do I find inspiring? And how can actually, like, you know, how do our skill sets maybe even complement one another? Is there a promotion in the business that could suit both of us? And if there's not, okay, well, if that person gets it over me, I can still be happy for that person. But what about that person has got the slight edge that I could go away and work on myself, so when the next opportunity comes up, I'm ready? So it's not viewing it as like, because she or he's got it, I can't. That's not an abundant mindset. It's like, there's enough abundance and money and promotions in the world for everyone, but the first thing we do is get clear on what we want, why we want it, and then look around and go, well, okay, this is who I am going to compete against. Okay, why are they better than me? Why are they more qualified than me? And identify your skill gaps and go and work on them. You know, it's not because there's a difference. If you're jealous of someone, as I was actually in Mel Robbins the other day, I was reading it. If you're jealous of somebody, that's fantastic, actually, because you can then identify what is it about them that's shining a light onto something you want and something you need to work on. And it takes a very, I guess, sort of like self-aware person to identify, why am I jealous of this person? Like, jealousy isn't necessarily a bad thing. Okay. I think it gets a bad rap, but it's actually a real, I guess, holds a mirror up to be like, well, if they can do it or if they have it, so can I. That's what we need to start telling ourselves. Not I'm jealous of that person because they've got it and I'm never going to have it. They've got something I want. What did they do? Watch them, study them, look at them. What are they doing that I'm not? What skills are they getting that I'm not? And use your self-awareness and act before you feel ready and go and get the same skills or work on yourself in a way that feels right to you. And you will get to where you want to be. And I think that we need to advocate for ourselves, absolutely. But again, if we're not working in organizations where maybe we're doing all the right things, we're still not being seen, then it's a cultural problem. It's not maybe the problem you've got. Then it's maybe identifying, okay, I've outgrown this organization. Now it's time to look for somewhere else. It's another company that is going to value my contribution. But we should never play small. We should never dull our light.
No, absolutely not. And I you know, honestly, let's think about, I think when you're at a certain stage of your career, like if I look back to 20s, early 30s, choosing an organization that's got a really good leadership team is actually really important.
Very.
Because I honestly think back to like my 20s, early 30s, had I had the right leaders in place that pulled me forward and made a conscious effort to pull me through, I could potentially have achieved better things working for an organization. Mm-hmm. So the key thing here is don't be scared to, if you're not getting your needs met for what you need in your current organization, don't be scared to look for it elsewhere.
Yeah.
Change job. I was always the type of person, and this is probably stems back from like who I was raised by. Stick with an organization. Don't be a quitter. Right. So if you look at the average tenure of the organizations that I worked for, I only worked for three companies and I worked for those three organizations for a very long time. I'm not a quitter. I stick with it. But there was two organizations out of the three that I probably stayed with 2 years longer than what I should have. And that came down to just reflect. This is just coming to me now, by the way. If I actually think about the development, if I could have been pushed, encouraged, and maybe worked for some larger organizations where there was better training and development programs, there was better access to tools and a better leadership team to really push and pull me through. Mm-hmm. Could I have achieved greater things working for an organization? Potentially. So don't be scared to change mm-hmm. organization, because not that I was scared, I enjoyed working for the same organization mm-hmm. and just like going through, you know, a couple of different cycles with them. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of enjoyment that's came from that mm-hmm. as well, and really getting to know an environment and the teams that I've worked with. That's what's kept me in my organizations a lot of time. I make sure that I always have fun. Like, laughter is really important to me as well mm-hmm. and enjoying my career. But don't be scared if you don't feel as though your needs have been met in your career in the years that you're growing, look for it elsewhere. That's also okay. Do not let yourself get to a point where in your younger years, when you're building, that you feel stagnant. There's far too much. There's opportunity and abundance out there. Opportunity and abundance. So don't let yourself get stagnant or feel stuck mm-hmm. because if you do and you're not getting the right coaching or development or training, look elsewhere.
Absolutely. And this leads nicely onto lesson number four, which is don't chase title, chase alignment. And I think that this is probably actually a really big lesson for me personally. Like, I think when, if I look back through my career, when I felt out of alignment was actually when I felt my most anxious and unhappy and had a lot of, like, I guess, mental health issues, like anxiety, because I was so preoccupied in, I guess, what I was doing, like, you know, getting up to like principal consultant level and earning great commission, but I lost myself along the way. And I think that in your 20s, I think you're right, go hard, go all in, make money, right? And that was definitely what I did in my 20s, and I went for it in my 20s and definitely gave myself a really good foundation and set up for my 30s. But I also think I could have done it in a lot more of an intentional way. I think I could have looked after myself a lot better during this time. I think that I could have detached myself from outcomes and not set myself these crazy expectations. And I could have lived a lot more in alignment with some of my values and not just chased the next promotion, pay slip, commission slip, and lost myself along the way. And I think it's really, really easy to, when you're in something, to just keep on climbing the ladder, keep on climbing the ladder, keep on going up and up and up and up. And, you know, I think I've shared this on the podcast before, but one of my goals was I wanted to get on the property ladder by the time I was like in my late 20s. And I saved and saved and saved and saved and saved and saved and saved. And I was just like literally just obsessed with every single dollar I made in commission, save, save, save. And I, for about 2 or 3 years when I was doing this, I didn't really, you know, I didn't really probably have much of like an active social life and I didn't really do much. And, you know, I just worked. I just wanted to work. And I think like looking back, I'm like, I don't necessarily regret that, but it wasn't sustainable and it wasn't healthy. And it didn't really make me that happy, I guess. I mean, and yeah, okay, I achieved the goal, but I remember walking into that apartment thinking, I'm going to feel so happy. I'm going to, this is what I've waited for. This is what I've worked for. And walking into that apartment and being like, I don't feel anything. And that was a wake up call. And I'm glad that I had that experience in my 20s, because I've come to realize that it's not about the outcome. It's about the journey. It's about who you become in the process. And if I look back over those 3 years where I was just like head down, bum up for those 3 years, and, you know, probably wasn't the nicest person to work with at times either in the office.
What? You were a joy every day.
No, I didn't want to talk to anyone. I wasn't interested in any social event. I was like, don't talk to me. No, I don't want to come out for lunch. I'm working. Like, that was me. I was really quite serious for about 3 years because I had this goal and it was all consuming. And yes, I achieved the target. Yes, I achieved what I wanted to achieve. But I think like that's also no way to live life as well. And yeah, I look back and I'm proud of what I achieved, but am I proud of who I was during that time? No. And that's quite tough for me to admit, but it's the truth. I wasn't living in alignment. I was very self-absorbed, very self-focused, very competitive. Like, I didn't like the fact that somebody else wrote up a placement before me. You know, I hated it. And I was just like constantly running on this toxic adrenaline, and it's just not healthy. And if I'm really honest, it's also not who I am either. If I reflect back to like my early years when I was, you know, young Georgie, I was just, freedom and health were my number one values. I wanted to travel. I wanted to see the world. And I completely lost connection with myself and my values and what was really important to me. Like, even to the point where I remember my parents came out to visit from the UK. This is so bad, but it's the truth. It's how I was so consumed. I was like, no, I can't. I'm not meeting you for dinner tonight. I've got an important meeting I need to attend to. I don't even think I came to meet them at the airport. In fact, I didn't, because I was working. I was obsessed with work. And I now, and again, I'm grateful I learned this lesson in my late 20s, but it's still something I have to be super aware of now, because I catch myself quite often walking in, because obviously, you know, we work from home a few days a week, walking into my home office and having the urge to get on my laptop. Obviously, I'm going on holiday soon, taking a little break, and there's the urge to take the laptop. There's the urge to work. And that gets you so far. It might get you to a goal. It might get you to a financial point in your life, but it doesn't lead to fulfillment. And Tony Robbins said it best. And when I read this quote, my whole life changed. He said, success without fulfillment is the ultimate failure. And that has stuck with me ever since. So lesson that I wish that I now applied to my life now is that it is not about the outcome. It's who you become in the process and enjoying the journey. And sometimes, yeah, there's going to be days where you're going to get frustrated. You're going to get overwhelmed. You're going to get anxious. Things are going to fall apart. But just remember, zoom out. This is not going to matter in, you know, even a week's time, right? Everything's going to be okay as long as you keep doing the work, but do it in a sustainable way that doesn't pull you away from who you truly are and what's important to you. And that is a massive, massive lesson that I wish that I could have gone and taught myself over those 3 years, where I just made a ton of sacrifices and wasn't particularly a nice or happy person, was constantly stressed out, competitive, and pretty much burnt myself out. And then actually even got to a point where I wanted to leave recruitment altogether. Because after I've achieved the goal of buying the house, I was like, well, I want to get out of this industry now. This sucks.
Done.
But it didn't suck. It was just the fact that I'd spent 3 years of my life not allowing myself to have fun, not allowing myself to enjoy myself, not celebrating any win. I didn't even pop the champagne when I bought my house. I was like, right, next deal.
Yeah.
And I think that's a valuable lesson for us all.
I think that's a really valuable lesson, but you know, you're not alone. I think, you know, there's so many people that at a certain stage in their life, your career becomes your number one and you tie your entire self-worth to what you're achieving in your career. And you can very easily lose sight about what is truly important to you.
Yeah.
Because we all have a different set of core values that move, constantly moving, constantly shifting, that you need to make sure are in alignment. Otherwise, like you experience, things start toppling over. But that is really powerful. But it's also, it's okay for you to sort of dip into that again when you're in those career defining years. But just the key thing being, don't lose yourself, because it can really drag you down and it can cause, you know, a whole rack of dominoes to come tumbling down. But, you know, if it doesn't matter, if any time you feel yourself getting overwhelmed or stressed about something that's happening at work or in your career, just try and take a bird's eye view. Is this going to matter in 5 minutes? Is this going to matter in 5 hours? Is this going to matter in 5 days? Is this going to happen in 5 months? If you look at things in that way, it can shift your perspective and just like bring a sense of calm to what it is that you're doing at any point. But everyone says that, you know, like chase it, just be careful about what your own version of success is that you're chasing. You know what I watched at the weekend?
What?
The Sylvester Stallone documentary.
Ah, okay.
It's actually very good, but it is really powerful. He sacrificed a lot in his younger years. And he does look back now. He says, like, you know, when you're heading towards 40, you're counting up. He says, when you hit 40, you're counting down.
Interesting.
Very interesting. I thought, whoa, that's very powerful. And what he says was, he was successful at the detriment to what is truly important in life, his relationship, his marriage, his kids. And he missed out on so much because he was chasing this version of success that wasn't truly aligned with who he was. And required validation from external sources and almost that well done, well done, well done from the world, because obviously he's like so major successful, right? Rather than looking internally and thinking, right, okay, what does success mean to me in my day to day? But he's, again, look at what he's achieved, right?
Right, and this is what I was about to say. This is always the issue for me. In today's world, where it's now $7 to buy a coffee, where if you want to send your kids to a good school, you got to save up and send them to a, you know, a decent school. If it's, so that means you've either got to live in a really expensive area to get them in the catchment area or send them to a private school, right? To get your kids into a good school. That's just one example that I'm hearing a lot of my parent friends talk about right now. So, okay, you've got to have money for private education or money to live in a freaking really expensive suburb somewhere to get your kids into a good school. So, because you want to put your kids, you want to set your kids up for success. It's like, and then there's all the pressure on society. The world's going to be getting more and more expensive. Our dollar's not going to matter. It's not going to be worth what it is today in 5 years' time. So it's all very well and easy to say, oh, just plod along and, you know, focus on what's important to you. And, you know, if that's your family right now, well, unless you want your family to grow up in the frigging arse end of nowhere, this is the issue. This is the issue in our society. It's like the messaging doesn't make sense anymore. And I think, like, I heard another podcast the other day where someone said, don't ever apologize for wanting to make money in this world. Don't ever apologize for wanting to set yourself up financially and support your family, because that's what's going to be needed. So we're just getting these constant conflictions of messaging. But I think it all comes back down to, what is the number one thing that is important to you? Because you always do have a choice. And if you have decided that my number one value right now is family, okay, well then, children don't just need a good education, they also need to feel love and connection. So does that mean then you downsize your house, you move to a cheaper area, and one of you does only needs to work part-time and you homeschool? We've always got choices. We've always got things that we can make decisions on. But I think that the key point here is that it's really important to try not to sway too far away from your core values, from your core anchor, because you can wake up one day and go, wow, externally and in society, I look amazing. My life's fantastic. Kids are going to the best schools, dressing well, nice house, picket fence, driving a nice car. But I am frigging miserable, exhausted and completely burnt out.
I think like that, it sort of relates back to as well that it's about being able to remain lighthearted in your career as well.
Yeah.
Right. And that whole, the whole, I love that concept of, is this going to matter in 5 minutes, 5 hours, 5 days, 5 weeks, 5 months? Right. Mm-hmm. I love that because that can allow you to sort of decompress and be able to like show up when you shut the laptop at night.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, be able to still show up and enjoy your life. It's like when your career, when your self-worth is completely tied into things and it's not, things maybe aren't going well, it starts to trickle into other stages of your life. Mm-hmm. That's when it can all start to unravel. Mm-hmm. So I think like just keeping that context, but also just making sure that you are living with your core values in mind and that alignment's there. But at the end of the day, if you want to have a quote unquote successful career, you got to show up, you got to learn, you got to develop, and you have got to work damn hard.
Yeah.
Especially in the world that we're living in at the moment.
Especially now. Yep. Especially now.
I know. You need to work to be at the top of your game.
Yeah. I completely agree. The final point that I definitely wish somebody had told me to prioritize in my 20s is building my network and nurturing my network as well. Because I think, okay, building and nurturing are two different things. In my 20s, yeah, I built my network. I've got close to 24,000 followers now on LinkedIn, right? People could say, wow, that's a big network. But it's only in the last, I guess, few years, I've become very intentional with who I'm actually building core relationships with. And I wish that I had done this earlier. But I'm now extremely intentional. I keep in contact with the people I want to keep in contact with. I'll make sure that I'm following them all, liking them, liking all their stuff that they post on LinkedIn, calling them, texting them, emailing them, inviting them for lunch, inviting them for coffee, inviting them to our events. I am now very, very intentional about my network and who I want to surround myself with. And probably since we started Sisterhood Club a few years ago, that's accelerated even more. And it is so true what they say. Your network is your net worth. The amount of opportunities and doors have opened for us because we have continuously over the last few years really, really developed those strong relationships and focus on our network. And I think to myself, Georgina, had you done that? Someone had told you that from like the moment you got into recruitment. Georgina, when you place a candidate, stay in contact with those candidates. When you place a role with a hiring manager, stay in contact with those hiring managers because they're going to go elsewhere and they will take you with them. No one emphasized that to me. No one told me, hey, when you're in an organization, keep in contact with your colleagues because one day you might want to get a job in the place that they've just joined. So more and more, I think, as we move into this new world of work where there's going to be jobs that don't even hit the job market, it's all going to be about who you know, not what you know. And I think that's going to be coming very, very popular in this new world. Roles are going to just be created. And if you have got a link into that organization, someone's going to say, oh, hey, Pam, I know who'd be perfect for this. You know, Sarah. Oh, God, yes, Sarah. Let's give Sarah a call. You want to be in the front of people's mind. And the only way you're going to do that is if you have a solid network with the right people. So one of my biggest pieces of advice, if you're starting out your career, or even if you're middle of the way through your career, you've still got another 20 years to go, develop those key relationships now. Nurture them. Go to networking events. Grab a coffees. Do not neglect your network. Absolutely crucial, especially as we move into this new world of work.
Even looking at it from a really simplistic point of view, from the power of networking, it's fun. It's fun, right? We've got our partner, we've got our family, we've got our best friends, we've got those people, right? So good at that. So good at nurturing that side of your life. But how amazing is it when you meet up with a group of like-minded men and women?
Yeah,
and you have a right good career chat.
I know.
It is so good. Mm-hmm. It's so empowering. It enables you to keep your finger on the pulse about what's happening in your industry. Mm-hmm. But I thoroughly enjoy those conversations.
Me too.
So it's mm-hmm. also to be enjoyed. And I think of the network of women that we've even built up. I'm going to take Sisterhood Club, yep. the mentors that we've got, the mentees. Mm-hmm. I love catching up with those women. Mm-hmm. I just, we're all so mm-hmm. like-minded, but bring yeah. different thoughts to the table and different intellect to the mm-hmm. table. And the conversation is, it's stimulating, it's enjoyable, like going out for lunch and dinner with these individuals, love it. It brings like a different dynamic to your social life. Mm-hmm. So even looking at it from that angle as well, and it's just so powerful. And think mm-hmm. about your network, you're going to meet people that it's not going to be like networking, they're going to become friends over yeah. time as well. Mm-hmm. It's so powerful. And mm-hmm. honestly, I wish that I would have been taught that as well. And I think we are, but in a way that doesn't connect mm-hmm. to you. It's linked back to your yeah, job and how to make
what's
placements
in it for you.
Or what's in
yeah,
it for you.
Correct.
And it's like not looking at it that way. It's like looking at it from a couple of different angles, yeah. but that's the one that I think that's really important.
Completely agree. So do not neglect your network. And you know, they say the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago or now. So start now, start working on your network and those core relationships. Now, today, reach out to somebody that you haven't spoken to in a while, offer them to grab a coffee, take action. As you said, the point number one, act, don't wait. But look, that is today's podcast. I hope that there was some really tangible things for you to ponder over, think on today. And again, as always, please reach out to Pam and I. We love hearing from you. Reach out to us. You know, if you're someone that listens to this podcast, give me and Pam a little message and say, hey, you know, and make sure that you're connecting and building your network with us as well, because we'd love to hear from you. But wherever you are in the world, have an amazing week ahead. Thank you for tuning in today. And if you want Pam and I to speak about something, please again, reach out to us. Let us know what you want us to talk to. And we will make sure that we pop it on our list of many things that we want to bring to you this year. But have a good one, and I'll speak to you soon. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. If you've got this far, that honestly means the world to me and lets me know that you've got a lot of value from today's episode. So if I could just ask you to do one thing, pull out your phone and please leave a quick review. It honestly would mean the world to me. It will help this podcast grow and get our message out there to more people. So if you could do that for me, that would be amazing. And please reach out and just let me know what you want to hear more about, what you're interested in. It will just also help me make sure that I'm continuing to speak to topics that are relevant and also find guests that are real true experts in what you want to know more about. So have an amazing day. Thank you so much for doing that. And I can't wait to share the next episode with you. Thank you.